did it. I pushed a button.
Good job.
Hello and welcome. Lynn. Lorraine is laughing already.
She always.
To the Cube Runners Residual podcast. Laughter. My name is Dustin Morbido. Joining me to talk about Pokemon Go adventures, Lorraine Morbido is here.
I go on those.
Occasionally, sometimes.
It's true. I have been on adventures.
Are you a boy or a girl? It's the first thing they ask you before you go on a Pokemon adventure.
I mean, last I checked,
it's worth noting.
The answer was girl. But I mean,
changes from day to day.
It could. I don't know if it does, but it could.
Sure. I mean, sometimes you just want to change it up, you know? When you, if you got the option, if it's just that easy, if you just have
it's
to tell an old, you just have
easy.
To tell an old man in a lab coat.
In this game, not even. You can just go to the menu, change your gender whenever you want.
Can you really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Really?
I didn't know that.
You could just go be a girl if you wanted to.
Maybe I will.
No.
Does it like change? Like, I wonder. Can you swip, change, and then change again? Like, can I go
so.
Buy like a girl tank top and then just like change my gender? I mean, assuming you still can't wear it because they probably are like restricted
know.
To.
Yeah, I don't know how the clothing situation works.
Oh, that's good to know.
But
I did
I'm
not
pretty
know
sure because it's just in like when you go to like the style option. I'm pretty sure like
there's
just
a thing
swapping
in there
that
somewhere?
Like it's like hair.
I think you're right. I feel like
skin
I've seen
tone
that
and gender are okay. You can change those whenever you want.
That's neat.
Shrug.
Good to know.
Pokemans.
That's cool.
Who else is here?
Joining us via the internet, possibly changing their genders as we speak. Kamigrath is here.
Nope. I don't have Pokemon Go, so that ability is beyond.
There you go. I was going to say, yeah, you got to download the app first. And finally, also joining us via the internet, Jillian Friulo is here.
With the ability to change my gender.
That's right. You got the phone in your hand. You can just swipe over there at any point and just be like.
My hand.
It's
yep.
Just
swipe
things.
Left to be a girl. Uh-huh. Swipe right.
Girls on the left, boys on the right.
Exactly. It's like Tinder, but not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got it.
Or like high school bowling trip bus rides.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Haven't
we all dreamed of pulling our phones out of our pockets and pushing the button that says, I'd like to pee standing up, please, and then making
well,
it so?
I mean, I could do that whenever I wanted to.
Anyway.
It just might not be
not
the most
pretty.
Efficient solution.
We are going to talk about...
gender dynamics.
No.
Not, no, am I
scenarios.
The
yeah,
you got to go down the hall, Kyle. Uh-huh. It's like uh-huh. Three doors. They've been doing this all day.
We're in
the
room 101 C. You want room 101 D.
Still smells like Pop-Tarts in here.
It could smell like worse things, I suppose.
It's true, but they were...
Pop-Tart is an A-minus smell.
It depends on the flavor.
I guess.
It depends on the flavor.
Do they really make bad Pop-Tart flavors, though?
I would assume
probably.
So.
I mean, the brown sugar ones and stuff like that, the more basic ones are just like, I don't know, they're not quite as extreme as some of the like crazier fruit ones
so
and stuff
basic.
Like that. I feel like those are like the subdued Pop-Tarts.
Subdued.
Yeah, every
subdued.
Now and then they go crazy and they'll have like pineapple Pop-Tarts. Yeah.
I'd give that a shot.
Frosted mini wheats Pop-Tarts.
Whoa, that's... There's a lot to unpack there.
Or a cereal where the Pop-Tarts are Frosted Mini Wheat size. Would you?
Wasn't there a Pop-Tart cereal at one point?
I could believe that there was. I don't remember for a fact, but
yeah. And it said it had like strawberry filling, but it really just had like you know crunch berry inside of a Captain
that
Crunch
about
piece.
Right. In the same way that Cookie Crisp is disappointing, I would think that yeah, that it's not quite what you were hoping it would be.
No.
Great. We're off to a great start.
In any case, yeah, we can't follow down the breakfast hole. But,
yeah,
like,
we do that
as much as I would love
down
to.
The breakfast hole all day long.
I know how you live in the breakfast hole, Dustin.
We are going to talk about Pokemon Go and the playing thereof, specifically as it rates to as it relates to Pokemon Go Fest in Chicago this past
2018.
Weekend.
2018.
Indeed, you're doing it. Oh, bam, 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 bam. we did it. We went to the thing for a second, two times in 2 years.
They didn't scare us away the first time.
That's right.
Never fool you twice.
Glad, whatever, you know, 12 months ago or however long it's been when we talked about the first one. I absolutely stated that I would give them like a mulligan. I was like, I would try that again. And then we got lucky enough to get tickets just like just happened to click the stupid link at the exact mm-hmm. right time after refreshing that page for like 30 minutes. And we got them, and we went again. And it was very good. They actually did, unlike the non-event that was the first one, where pretty much everything went wrong to some degree, like for pretty much all of the day.
Yeah, like basically literally everything.
It was like night and day.
I guess they didn't run out of food. They could have run out of food. The porta potties could have all fallen over.
Oh, you mean last time?
Last year,
the one that was bad, the things that could have been worse.
First
sure,
GoFest.
A sinkhole could have swallowed 20% of the attendees. You're right. It could have been worse.
99.9% of things went wrong. That 0.1%, 0.01, no, 0.1, 0.1.
Whatever.
Everyone lived.
Mm-hmm.
Right. At least it didn't devolve into, you know, a melee. People just stepping all over each other, trying to catch, Abra's or whatever the special thing was.
Sure. Although that was still, actually, let's not get ahead of ourselves, because I want to get, I'll take it a few steps at a time, but,
lead us.
The first thing I'll say is that one of the biggest differences for me and Lorraine is that last time, it was just the two of us for one whole 24-hour period. Like, we left crazy early that morning.
Yeah, if you go back and, like, that whole day was just a big whatever. Go back and listen to that podcast for that whole story. We don't need to go into that again.
Right, but it was like, we were in, it was like 18 or 19 hours.
Oh, yeah, we
were. Like, total round trip.
Spent.
We really hit it hard last year. And this year, we went the day before. We basically got up the morning.
Yep.
We had tickets
It was a two-day event. Like, not like you go for 2 days. It was... You bought a ticket for Saturday or you bought a ticket for Sunday. Everything else was the same, like, between the 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just to get more people and mitigate the number of people in the park at once, which is smart.
Indeed.
Smart.
So we were on Sunday.
So we got up early Saturday morning, drove across the state of Michigan, rolled into Chicago.
We made a pit stop at Warren Dunes first and went into the lake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did jump into Lake Michigan for about... 2.5 minutes.
It was so cold.
Oh, it was so good.
Or whatever that was.
It was so good.
It was cold. Great.
Got a pretty solid, a mostly solid burrito from a very crummy looking burrito
The shadiest truck and also the most unseasoned burrito I've ever tried.
Mm-hmm. The shadiness rarely turns me off of like a burrito in a parking lot, but I was surprised by how like...
It was so bland.
Yeah,
set off the alarms even more than it should have.
How just like a pile of
it was literally
cooked,
it was just unseasoned ground beef was, like.
But it was still fine.
The burritos we made like ourselves, unlike Christmas Eve at short notice, were so much better than those. Anyway.
Oh man, this is good.
It was so good. That was a great day.
Mm-hmm.
You got a bunch of pizza, right?
Okay,
we did.
We're getting there. So we get to Chicago.
No, sorry, I didn't mean to throw off the story.
We went to the hotel, took a brief pit stop after like trying to find it. We got turned around because Google couldn't decide where exactly we were.
Sure. But anyway, so that's one part. The first part was we rescheduled a little bit and
made a trip out of it as opposed to a day.
Yeah. And the second part was that we had two additional passengers this time. Jillian came with us. Who is... talking with us as we speak. And we took my mom with us too. Because she's been playing that game. She's been playing Pokemon to such a degree that I was like, she'll probably get a kick out of this.
I think like we mentioned before, maybe even on the podcast when we were in Colorado, that you started her playing it before that trip because we'd be walking so much. And she's like, she knew like the Gen 1 guys. Because like anyone
who was
a person at that point in time knew them.
That's like my first question on, a date, how many of the 151 Pokemon can you name?
It's right now.
You pull out your flashcards and you're like, yo, what's a Squirtle look like? Like, yo, dog, it's a blue ass turtle. He's tiny as hell.
Sorry,
you're like,
got
right.
Peter and female. So
it's a purple pear with a face.
Anyway, so the two main differences were we had a couple more people with us, and we made it a little bit longer trip than before. But like Lorraine said, we rolled into town in the afternoon, checked to the hotel.
And then just wandered, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, Chicago's a pretty big city. We were in a fairly, like, we weren't, like, downtown necessarily?
I mean, yeah, we were. We were pretty much in the heart of downtown. In the heart of downtown.
Chicago is a big place.
Yeah.
I always forget, honestly, because...
It's sprawling.
Because in my head, I categorize Chicago and Detroit as very similar cities because they're kind of near each other geographically,
I mean, yes,
and they're both
they
in this, like, the middle of the Midwest.
Uh-huh.
So they're, you know, they're just
they're
like, there's a
the
vibe
water.
To them that is more like, at least the, at least for me personally, yeah, I feel like the people you see, you run into on the street, like, people from those two places are a little more likely to be similar than, like, folks
right.
from, like, the West Coast and the East Coast.
You can just go up and, hey, how about that shitty weather? Oh, man, yeah.
No.
Right.
It was, like, -2 degrees yesterday, and now it's, like, 80.
But, yeah, the sprawl is not even close, and I always forget until I'm back in Chicago just how much more massive it is than the downtown Detroit area, because it's, yeah, it's real big.
If you think about it, it's not, it wasn't built on factories. Like, it was a port.
Yeah, and
Great
it's
Lakes
not
port town for the most part.
Right. It's not the same, like there's a whole slew of reasons why.
Well, no,
like we don't need to get into that.
A lot of Detroit was built around like shipping, manufacturing, and a bunch like there's a lot of factories because it's got like the connection to like the ocean through like the Sioux Locks and stuff like that. So it was kind of more of a that. I don't know.
Sure.
Where Chicago was just like a city.
Sure. But yeah,
big old city.
Got out of town. We hung out for a bit. It's been and this is the most time I'd spent because, like I said, we technically went last year, but the only thing we did
was literally show up
at GoFest and spend like you know probably like eight-ish hours at the event itself, and then we left. So this is the first time I'd been in the city of Chicago for more than you know like that period of time and quite a bit. Like it's been 5 or 6 years, I think, because we went once.
Yeah, because
like a weekend, basically.
Yeah, when we went with Natalie, we spent a decent amount of time walking. Yeah, obviously not walk. Like we were trying to cover ground this time, but not really like going to see stuff.
Yeah,
we were just walking.
Mm-hmm.
And then we weren't really like in Chicago for like the DBZ thing.
Yeah,
but
right, same thing. That was a very specific trip with a very specific purpose. There was no part of just kicking it on that trip, and that's basically like Lorraine said. What we did that first day, so we just wandered around a little bit. We went to Millennium Park, which is not a location that was like officially for that event, but you know, it's a public park with a bunch of shit in it, so it's a good place to play Pokemon Go.
Between like Saturday and Sunday, throughout the city, they were doing a bunch of like throwback raids and other stuff. Like I don't know if it was like just Lugia and Articuno in like the legendary raids. Because we did a handful of those.
I think that was the case.
Out of rotation for a bit. And there was just people everywhere doing them. So we never had a shortage of raid companions. And so like we walked around for a while, and then we ended up finally finding a pizza joint.
Woo!
Sat down, had us big old, like, they were very busy. And while we were waiting, a legendary raid hatched like down the street, but our phone's GPS was freaking out. So Dustin and I had to like walk up and down the street block with the four phones.
Did that all week, a little bit.
Yeah, that's pretty much the case. Like even when we were in New York the last time or whatever, the more skyscrapers you are around, the less reliable it is to like put you where you actually are on any physical street corner.
We did do the raid, and then the pizza came, and the pizza was great.
Yeah, and honestly, the pizza, it wasn't as, in terms of acquiring the pizza, it wasn't as big a clusterfuck as I was, like, assuming it would be. Because, like I said,
we've been led to believe from...
The best that I think, the best we could have hoped for was, like, a tight 40-minute turnaround anyway, because those things take a while to cook.
Yeah,
so, like, even when you order
Chicago-style
it...
Chicago-style pizza...
Well, it sounded like it was supposed to take longer than it actually was. Like, even to get seated, and then to get the pizza, and then all of a sudden it's like, hey, we have a seat. Hey, we have pizza.
Yeah, we really lucked out with the seating, because they're like, oh, it was supposed to be, like, a 30-minute wait...
Yeah, just
for
to sit down.
Sitting.
And then they were like, go ahead and put your order in so we can, like, you know, get it queued up and start cooking
pizza.
It or whatever. And then we'll call you when there's a table. And then, like, in the time it took me to go up to, the, like, the little counter.
Do that
and
come
put
back.
In our food order. Like, we were, like,
you're
she was like, oh, you're,
there's a table.
Yeah, they were yelling our name. So we got to sit down and that was all good. And then we had our Chicago pizza and it was delicious. Do you have any more elaborate pizza thoughts?
As you finally having your first Chicago-style pizza?
Oh no.
Oh, sorry. I thought you'd. I did not.
That's okay.
Realize it's my name.
It's like, no,
I loved it. I had not had obviously had yet, and I mean it was good. I liked it. I ate it.
I would say that
I probably could have eaten three, but you know, I still had a lot of walking to
do. For sure, as a as somebody who's pretty staunchly use your bare hands to eat pizza with, Chicago pizza may be the one definitive exception. Yeah. Like you can eat slices of it with just your fists, but like I absolutely will not judge anyone. And I used a knife and fork.
Oh yeah, I do too. I did too.
Because yeah, it's a bit it's a bit much to like.
It's definitely more of a pizza pie than like any other pizza. Mm-hmm.
It's a pizza pie.
Mamma mia.
Big as your eye.
Yeah,
that's amore.
I've definitely heard people
Marrone.
Say that it is like almost on the lasagna spectrum.
Sure,
which I kind of agree with.
It's floating around there.
Truth to that,
it's almost a pasta.
But yeah, very good.
Lasagna
is a
cake. Chicago style pizza is a pie. Don't at me.
Sure. That was a very satisfying pizza experience.
Don't at me.
Yes, that was good. And then after that, we went to Navy Pier. That's where we went from.
Yeah, so
the
we
pizza
went
place
yeah,
to Navy
down
Pier.
From the hotel to Millennium Park. We went from Millennium Park
to pizza
to the pizza place
and pizza to pier.
Yeah, which is also we had been to Chicago a couple times as kids. I never went been to Navy Pier in adulthood, but apparently we went there as kids. Although that's not part of those trips that I remembered specifically, but my mom was like, yeah, we totally came down here. and it's totally different now, and, you know, I'll take her word for it.
It was a lot busier than I was expecting, actually. Like, I have never been to Navy Pier. I was expecting it to be more of, like, a pier as opposed to, like, a shopping mall, basically.
I knew it was that. Like, I knew it was basically just, like, it was less a pier and more
junction of commerce. Nothing about it. Interesting.
Of hanging out and, you know.
There was a wedding going on at the giant, gaudy hall at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I can only imagine how much that cost. I don't want to think about it.
Well, just be glad that it wasn't your wedding, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Although it would have been very nice, I bet. It would have been extremely nice.
Oh, I'm sure.
But yeah, that was good. We walked around down there a little bit. We basically walked all the way up it.
And then all
like,
the way
down to the end and then all the way back. As far as Pokemon was concerned, like the functioning of the game period, I think that the literal end of Navy Pier, like the actual...
It was a disaster. There were so many Pokemon there.
Right, the actual like tip of it before you like would turn around and head back. I think that is the highest density spawn point I've seen in the game other than like the Renaissance Center and downtown Detroit. Mm-hmm. Like they were kind of similar.
But even that is more spread out.
Yeah, because that's a big ass building.
It's
and
like,
the end of this
it's
thing
that
is like
concentration,
right.
But in like a smaller area.
Yeah,
it was insane.
It's like a few hundred square feet as opposed to thousands. And it's just like, right, there were like
dudes on dudes on dudes
50 or 60 Pokemon spawns on screen at any given point. So it was a little ridiculous.
It was a mess.
But it was a good walk. Like, that whole, like, the whole path we took through the city was a fun little, like, loop to go around.
Chicago's neat.
Yep. Saw a lot of cool stuff. The weather was pretty good. Actually, it was probably even a little better on Saturday, especially because, it had been raining earlier in the day, but we basically got into town probably, like, an hour or two
overcast.
After the rain was over. So everything was just, like, cool because it had rained, but not, like, actively raining, so we weren't getting wet.
And, it, like, the sun was, like... out in spurts, but it was generally covered by clouds, so it wasn't like super oppressively bright or anything, or overly hot.
Good.
It was good.
Mm-hmm.
It'd been a good day to be in the park.
And then we did that, and then basically headed back to the hotel for the night.
And watched Harry Potter.
Watched some Harry Potter because it happened to be on television.
Order.
Which Harry Potter?
So it started because this was just I don't even remember what channel it was. USA.
USA.
I think. It was 5 and then 3. And then we were all so tired that we didn't watch 4 that was coming on afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah, don't ask me, man. Because that was their their whole pitch. Like, because they had a bunch of specific title cards and stuff, like a bunch of advertising
made up. I think they recently just took it from what was ABC Family.
Yeah,
like they're like the official home of Harry Potter. I was like, whoa, buddy.
Yeah,
oh,
they might
have
They might as well have had the USA logo standing over the Freeform logo with a smoking pistol in its hand, and it's a Mickey Mouse paw that they articulated onto it. They're just like, we buried those fuckers. We have Harry Potter now. No one else. But yeah, there was a weird, like, gloating element.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, dog, you want Harry Potter? You can come here. You can pound sand, because this is where Harry Potter lives on cable television. And yeah, they were showing them out of sequence, so I guess they were just like, they just hit shuffle on the Harry Potter playlist, and, you know, whichever movie came out is the one you were watching.
There's probably a community on the internet that suggests strange viewing orders for Harry Potter, like they do for
some movies. Oh, sure. Sure, you gotta watch 4, 6, 7 part yeah. 2, I then
would,
1.
I would watch all of the Harry Potter movies in a completely random order. Like, none of them are in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
And or, like, that, like, just in a disaster. Like, not even in sequence. If there is some way to jumble sure.
which
eight
ways
things...
to, which ways to watch them, like, which albums to sync them to... Like, which one has, which Harry Potter oh, movie man. Has the best, like, Wizard of Oz, Dark Side of the Moon?
I like Dark Side
Anyway.
But yeah, we were, like, all falling asleep, like, because we had gotten up, like mm-hmm. Dustin said, like,
and like you had 8, said
9 a.m. To leave to go.
Like you had said earlier,
and we spent a day, the entire day driving and then walking a lot.
Yeah, like you had said earlier today when we were not on the podcast yet. We went pretty hard that first day. Even we walked, so what, 4 or 5 miles or something?
6, yeah. Almost 6.5.
And that was the day we weren't specifically walking around, yeah. Like as the thing we were doing all day. But that was all pretty good. And again, like I said, I just liked. Because it had been a bit since I'd been in Chicago proper, so it was just fun to walk around the city a little bit.
It was just kind of nice to see so many people out there playing, too. Like, that mm-hmm. has to be something that just kind of helps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was
well, kinda.
It was definitely
help,
like the...
just kind of cool.
Yeah, it was like the Community Day events, mm-hmm. but larger, which I still think is that's the smartest thing that they've done for that game.
Yeah.
Other than pulling off like events like this and having them be successful, the like monthly... Like, here's an event day mm-hmm. where people are playing the game thing has been super smart for just, like, keeping people energized and keeping people, like, and giving people, like, one day where it's always, like, that couple of weeks at launch. Like, with the Community Day events, there's mm-hmm. basically one day a month guaranteed where if you can find the time to go out and play and you go to just, like, anywhere that's, like, even remotely... You know, populated.
Like a park or...
Right. It'll
like
be
we like...
like
to go downtown.
It'll be like when the game launched. You'll just run into people who happen to be playing. Mm-hmm. Because that's the time where everyone's out doing shit. So that's all really smart. And then we had kind of... like when we got back to the hotel and I had been just fucking around on the internet, checking out reports of how things mm-hmm. had went that day. Because day one of the actual event proper was happening while we were just kind of hanging out.
Yeah.
It was clear that
6, I believe, was the like window for the event.
Mm-hmm. It was clear already that it was much better than last year. The complaints were like much, much fewer and far between. There was no like completely.
Yeah, the game didn't completely die.
Yeah, no widespread outages like there were.
News of how bad it was didn't reach the stuff I read.
Exactly right. like there wasn't like a two pages back article on CNN or something. I was like, Pokemon event is shitty. it wasn't bad enough to catch like a headline for being terrible.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the only real problems that, and we experienced this as we'll get into the second day too, but the only real problems that I saw technologically for the event itself seemed to be that like near the center of the park, for whatever reason, Verizon service was not ideal.
And it was a big park. It was much bigger than last year.
And so as we're rolling in, do you either you guys have anything to add on Saturday before we get into Sunday, like the event proper?
I don't think so.
Yeah, not really. It was just nice to have so many people raiding where it wasn't mm-hmm. an issue. Like, oh, are we going to beat this guy? Do we have enough people? It's like, no, we have so many people. We're not even in
right.
the same raid.
There's hundreds here.
The problem becomes, are we all going to be in the same room?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Just for that bonus.
The answer is no, but who cares?
Because they keep filling up.
We tried. We really tried.
Right on. Anyway, the things that I'll pull up, because I pulled up a couple tabs here.
Gasp.
So that in terms of planning, I think that Niantic did probably a like astronomical amount of work, like from setting things up to make sure that this year is better than last year. And some of the raw numbers bear that out too. Grant Park, which is the park in Chicago where the event was last year, This year it was hosting like the Taste of Chicago food festival thing over this same weekend. But in terms of like volume, the entirety of Grant Park is around 320 acres. And last year that park was, it was walled off in the same way that like a music festival or something would be, where they just put up giant, you know, metal fences around the entire perimeter of the play area. And they basically just had like, had to funnel people through one like little central
TSA
entrance in the front.
Like gateway entrance kind of type thing.
Mm-hmm. To contrast, Lincoln Park, which was the park that they held the event in this year, is 1,200 acres, so it's
like four times.
Yeah, it's roughly four times as large as the area that the event was held in last year.
It definitely showed.
And unlike last year,
it was not gated. There was no entrance.
The park itself was just open to the public. So if you just happen to be a, you know, a Chicagoan living your life,
we definitely saw them.
Yeah, we totally, especially in the early morning, and like kind of as we were heading out. there were just people walking their dogs or, you know, jogging or whatever they might do in the park on any given Sunday anyway. But yeah, there was none of that, which was awesome because it meant that there was a zero line.
Yeah, because that was definitely the biggest, like, gut punch right away was the, like, hour wait in the line in the hot beating sun.
Yeah, because it bears repeating that the, like, the disappointment in the first event was kind of twofold. Because when we went last year, when we went and we showed up, you know, we had driven, like I said, the day of. So we pulled into the parking garage, walked over to the thing. And I think that was about, like, by the time we physically got there last year, it was about 20 or 30 minutes before the event was, like, supposed to start.
Probably.
And we queued up, and then we waited for, like, an hour and a half.
Yeah.
just waiting in a line to get into the park. And that whole period was like, well, this sucks, but once we get in there, you know, we'll be done with that, and it'll be good.
And then
it was not. and this year, both, you know, we had walked up and rolled in, like, five to 10 minutes before the scheduled start time of the event.
But it was A, already going, B, there was no line, and C, we just literally walked in, registered our thing, which actually worked this year, as opposed to the, like, because I think you could have used the camera last year, too, because there was a little code on the wristbands that was, like, our ticket or whatever, and that, I could, like, just because of how shoddy the game was at that time last year, that never worked for me, so I had to manually input the code, but this time it was a QR code that did have, like, a number underneath it.
Yeah.
And I literally, like, I barely even had the QR code in the frame, and the picture's like, you're good, okay, go, you're great, just go.
Yeah. It was awesome. Like, because it was, like, the difference between waiting an hour and a half and then getting inside and having it still not actually work to, like, showing up basically at the exact time that you were supposed to and just walking in, and then it just worked fine. So, yeah, could not have been a different experience from, like, the actual start
night
of the thing.
Night and day.
And then we just hung out and, you know, we did the thing. We played that game. It also helped that they had, like, the structure of the event was even different because, like I said, I think if it had been the exact same thing as last year's event, like, even with all these other upgrades of just, like, they figured a lot of the technological shit out, and they got just a much larger physical area to put people in. Like, all that stuff is super important. But if it had still been, a similar kind of, like, totally free-form, like, just everybody does a collective thing at the same time. Because the pitch for last year's, like, the way the gameplay part was supposed to work, and this is before the game had, like, the quest system and stuff.
Yeah.
So it was before some parts of the structured gameplay that are in now were in the game at the time. There were supposed to be these, like, hour blocks where specific parts of the park would have, like, basically they had last year, similar to this year, they had specific physical areas of the park spawning
certain kinds
of Pokemon. Yeah. And last year the pitch was every hour there's, like, a threshold that we want the player base to meet for a certain type of Pokemon. So, like, you know, from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m.
Catch fire types.
Catch fire types, right. So the pitch there would be every, I suppose, presumably, every single person in the park would go to that one little corner of the park.
Yeah, there definitely were stampedes last year. That absolutely
by design,
happened.
And all be, you know, shoulder to shoulder, just, like, standing, kind of smushed together, just tapping and clicking, and clicking away, which I don't think is necessarily the greatest gameplay experience.
Yeah.
like, so if they had done it that way and it had still worked, I still don't think it would have been great. This one was much better because they have this other system now to give players objectives something that they can complete at their own pace. So basically, as soon as you you got in and you queued up and you like scanned your code or whatever to start the event, the game would grant you a new quest line to try to find Celebi. And then every single person has the same list of tasks to do, but they're not like synchronized. Yeah. Like I can do it 3.5 hours before somebody else if I just happen to meet all the objectives more quickly. Mm-hmm. And then the park was laid out such that to physically accomplish all of the tasks, you have to move from one end of park to the other at some point, like at least one time. You basically have to go from whichever starting point you ended up in, because they also
there were two different gates.
Yeah, they queued people in at the north side and the south side of the park. And each one, the intent would be that over the course of the event,
you'd
would
go to the other side,
right? At minimum, all the way through it from one end to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, to complete the whole thing, you basically have to traverse the entire park, which is more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It makes more sense to start people in different spots from a load balancing perspective. It makes more sense to keep them moving from a load balancing perspective. And quite honestly, having the quests be something that you could like actually track your own progress in real time, just by looking over and seeing what the next thing you have to do is, I think just is way more interesting than like there are more global goals that are harder to keep track of, because they still do that. Like that was even kind of still part of this event. Like all the stuff they've been doing this summer has been like goals for the player base as a whole to do, you know, like millions and millions of a thing to collectively unlock, you know, additional rewards.
Mm-hmm.
Like XP buffs and stuff for the following week after any given event. But breaking it up like that and letting people go at their own pace and incentivizing them to move through a physical space, I think is all super smart. And it worked. Like it was, we did it and it was like, it worked as intended.
Yep.
And it was very cool.
Yeah, we were done by what, like noon-ish?
Something like that. Like 12:30-ish, I think we had basically finished up the main quest line. And then we looked for food and stuff, and then we just hung out for a few hours after that.
Mm-hmm.
But they had that going. There were special spawns just in general, like all the different biomes they had set up. They had like
unique. It was
jungle, glacial.
Yeah, jungle, glacial, desert, volcano.
Those are the four. And those each spawned, you know, Pokemon that you would think like have typing
fire,
that
rock,
corresponds
ground,
to those areas.
Ground, steel. Grass for like Cacnea, right. Like poison.
Uh-huh. And then even within those areas, it wasn't like every type of Pokemon could spawn in those areas. They had handpicked a selection, was like a pretty good representation. Like a lot of them were either just Pokemon that spawn more rarely in the wild period, or specifically Pokemon that spawn more rarely in different like pre-existing biomes of the Pokemon Go universe.
Because
if you live, depending on which areas you live in the country,
you'll get different things.
Like when we went to Colorado, the inherent biome to Colorado is different than it is here.
Yes.
Like we get more grass types and water types by default in the area that we live. And in Colorado, it's like, more like fairy types and fighting
rocks.
Types and rock types. Yeah. So they basically like stirred a pot of all of those from the various biomes that the game recognizes and kind of put them all in this one area. They had the shiny rates increased for a bunch of stuff again, which they did in like the Germany event a couple weeks ago or whatever.
Not that I saw anything.
Oh, you got a couple.
I got one thing at that whole event. And I think it was in, or no, it was. Okay. Yeah, I did get the Whalmer in the park.
You got a shiny Wailord?
Yeah.
And you're complaining?
Yeah. See,
but that was it. Dustin got like an Aeron, and you got, did you get another Aerodactyl? You got two Whalmers.
No, I did get two Whalmer and an Aeron, and
Jillian got two Aerons and at least two Whalmer and an Aerodactyl.
I got three Whalmer.
You got
I got three Whalmer and Aerodactyl. What else? And then like five of each plus a little minor.
Well, yeah, I got three of each of those, but so did everybody else.
And my assumption is, because that's the thing they do in with the community days every time too, is they'll be themed around one Pokemon, which will spawn, like a ton of them will spawn over the course of a few hour period, and that Pokemon's shiny rate will be like intensely boosted. Like I think the people in the community have done the math, and it's something like 1 in 40 chance of hitting a shiny. And I'm assuming that's what the rates were for this event too. Since the Pokemon themselves are so much more distributed in this event. Like, it's not like the community days where it's literally basically just one guy.
Yeah,
it's like, you know,
super saturated.
A few dozen.
Yeah.
Then, like, your odds of encountering a ton of any specific guy are, like, much higher than average, like, much higher than usual, but still very low.
Yes.
Because if you really grind it out on those community days and you play from, like, start to finish over that 3-hour period and you just never stop, you know, statistically speaking, you can catch anywhere from like 3 to like maybe 15 of the same shiny guy if you just really go for it and get sort of lucky. And then this one, like we were saying, pretty much everybody who attended seemed to catch like a nice handful, which is way more than you'd get just by playing the game normally. Because I think in Pokemon Go, the base shiny rate is still way higher than regular Pokemon games. It's like 1 in 450 or something. But that's much less than 1 in 40. So.
Yeah, I think the only one I've come across naturally in the wild by random and happenstance with my Go Plus was that one Swablu. That's it.
Yeah, I probably have caught, like...
outside of a...
Yeah, I probably have naturally caught maybe, like, 4 or 5 shinies total, and over the course of this event, I think I caught, like...
double,
6 or 7.
Basically.
Yeah, like, at minimum. Playing them for, like, a day and a half, because we played, you know, a little bit that Saturday, too, but...
But we didn't have the... Go Fest bonuses at that point.
But anyway, yeah, I thought it was really cool. I had a very good time. Do you guys have thoughts about any other thoughts about how Sunday went, or like things that were your favorite things, things you might have changed up?
Well, as like, I mean, I'm obviously the only other one who can speak to having been to both. And it was just like you said, it was night and day. It was incredibly like well paced and much more managed. They did, they had a little more, like, kind of flair around the park with, like, they had, like, they had 6, like, well, it was the same amount, kind of. Or no, they weren't. No, there was one of each team tent last year, and then there were 3 on both, like, one on both sides of the park at each entrance, where it was just kind of like a little hub. They had, like, an MC going at each one, basically, and it was just kind of like, they were playing, like, games, like, oh, who's got, like, the highest... number of Pokemon caught, or who's got the highest trade distance.
Yeah, I actually thought that was really smart. Both those little prize things were kind of cool, but I actually thought it was super smart to have the people in there with the microphones emceeing and like facilitating trades for people.
Yes.
I thought that was super clever. Because that's another
had,
thing
like,
that's in the game now that wasn't
like,
in the
GTS,
game before.
Like,
yeah, it was
like,
just like,
hey, this guy's got X, Y, and Z and wants A, B, and C. Like,
yeah, and then they just do like
one?
Show of hands. Just like, this guy's got an unknown N. Does anyone have a Mr. Mime they want to trade for that?
Basically.
For unknown N?
Yeah. And then for the little biomes, like, because like last year they had like certain points where like they also made stops in the park like last year. But they had like physical sets for the biomes, like the volcano. There was like 3 giant mountains, and they were always just spewing out smoke. And there was some kind of like fake snow. It might have been like bubbles or something coming out of like the glacial one. And like the jungle had like a kind of like tree house type thing going near, and it was like in the bushes. And the desert one
which
had
was
like these little cacti things around it.
Yeah, which was a cool little touch.
Yeah.
Especially since last year, the designation for those, again, if it had even worked right, the designation for each of those specific like spawn point areas was like a small sign with a flame on it.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, here's the fire one. So having like putting a landmark up for the weekend that was like, oh, you just look at it and that's
it
the area
cute.
You're in. Oh, it was smart.
And then my other favorite dumb little thing they did was throughout the park, they had these big standees that were just like pictures of the various loading screens for the game. And it was like they were stops, and they had like, it was like memory lane. It's like when the loading screen was on the thing.
Right.
They looked really nice. Like those loading screens look good blown up. Like they're good art. And so that was just fun to like, oh, here's the one from when they introduced raids, or this is the like New Year's one or the Christmas one.
Yeah. I wonder where that art comes from. Like if Niantic contracts somebody or they have somebody do it in-house, or if like
team.
The Pokemon company provides those or just signs off on them.
I bet it's Niantic themselves, just based on like the giant flip between the first loading screen, which I did not see have a standee.
Just the Gyarados.
It's like, well, because it's so much flatter than all the other ones. Mm-hmm. Like it was like, it's cute, but all the other ones have such a higher quality of art that I bet that they do it in-house.
Yeah.
But those were fun. I really liked those. And yeah, I mean,
it was a lot of walking.
It was a lot.
It was good.
That day was almost 12 miles.
Yeah, because the park itself, like end to end, basically, if you walked the whole course they set up, it was like 1.8 miles. And we did that on top of just pacing around a little bit. We did that basically like 2.5 times,
give or take.
Again, on top of just kind of like wandering period throughout the park, just catching stuff or whatever. So it was a lot of walking.
It was a lot of walking.
And we walked there from the, like,
we walked from the hotel,
and,
like, a mile and a half or so, or almost 2 miles from the hotel, and then had to go back that same distance to get the car.
But it was good.
It was a nice 5 hour sit to get back home.
Yeah, that actually made the, it made the drive back from Chicago to Detroit almost therapeutic. After that much walking, it was kind of nice to just be sitting down for
my
a good couple hours.
My thighs were so sore the next day.
It was very good.
Like, not my feet. Like, it hurt. It hurt really bad.
Jillian, do you have any other random thoughts about the event? As somebody who didn't go last year, but has obviously, like, you know...
You've gone to community days.
Yeah, you've joined us on a couple of those community days and stuff.
Well, that was kind of one of the things I was going to talk about, because I... like you just said, I wasn't there last year, and I've not definitely not participated in all the community days, but some.
Sure.
But
I mean, you've come downtown with us and have seen how like big and bustling that can be.
Oh yeah. But I even guess, like, as after having been playing this game for 2 years and obviously having been a fan of for much more than that. I don't know, it was just kind of nice to see all the people kind of getting together, and just at least, I mean, I liked how much effort they put into it. Granted, again, not really being able to compare it to last year. Last year sounds really shitty. but I mean, it was cool. Like, the habitats were cool. It was nice that they had even MCs at the habitats, like, doing prizes.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And
we didn't,
like,
we did not mention that. Like, there were more things.
There were so many people there, like, so many people. And I'm just kind of like, you wouldn't think, I mean, obviously playing on a little bit of a smaller scale, just kind of at home from day to day, it was just kind of crazy to see, like, and that's not even like the entire portion of the people who play the game. That's just the people that were there. Like, it's just kind of wild that, I mean, even after all this time, how the game has evolved and how it has changed, but even how many people are still, like, obviously fiercely involved in it too. It was just kind of, I don't know, it was kind of cool to see. Like, I was kind of telling everybody, I was like, it was probably like my peak nerdiness, but like, I had a lot of fun. And I mean, I enjoyed it, and I thought, I mean, even for what the tickets were,
25 I think,
20 plus shipping. Yeah, originally
20, so like, that's shipping. Not a lot of money, like, but like, I mean, even just for like the day itself, and obviously like the benefits of the rare Pokemon you get from it, like, what I mean, I think definitely worth that amount. I mean, it was just kind of nice to be, like, you know, kind of playing a game, but actually having to be, like, very active and very mobile with it too. You had to, like you said, you had to walk across the park, because you had to catch the egg, or you had to hatch your eggs, and you had to, you know, get the buddy candy, and you had to catch the specific Pokemon around, and like, even with the unknown, it's like you had to go like end to end to get them, and it's just like, I don't know, it was really cool. It was a very different experience, because I really didn't know necessarily what to expect. Not that any of us necessarily did, because obviously change. But it was just, I don't know, it was just kind of cool. I would recommend it to people if they're, obviously it's not as easy to get to, but I would recommend it.
I still hope that they, like, figure out a way, like, to split the difference between this and the community days, and find a way where they're comfortable putting out a larger number of slightly larger scale events, like, spread out through multiple areas. Because they basically do one per region of the world at this point. Like, there's one or two big ones in Japan every year. There's been exactly one big one in America for the past 2 years.
There's been quite a few in Europe.
And in Europe, to varying degrees, they do maybe like two.
Yeah, those Safari Zone ones, they don't seem like they're as big as like.
I don't think
Go
they're
Fest.
Paid. I think that's the thing.
Yeah,
I don't think
right. And
don't,
they're
like,
not
buy
like a
tickets.
Yeah, they're not as structured. But they are a like come to a spot and do a slightly have a slightly modified experience. You know,
it's mainly just different spawns. For the most part, like, I think the last one they had brought in, like, Kangaskhan and, like, something else were just, like, in those, like, just spawning in, like, I think it was Germany
this year. The one in Dortmund, Germany this year that was a couple weeks ago or whatever, it didn't have the element of, like, it didn't have its own, like, dedicated quest line.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't debut with something like the Celebi quest there. It was just, you know, show up and we'll have cool stuff spawning, and Corsola will be spawning in Germany.
That's what it was. Corsola and Kangaskhan.
That Pokemon
doesn't
exist there normally. And
I think they had two. I think it was Kangaskhan as well.
Right. Come hang out and play. But yeah, GoFest is definitely the one that It's the most elaborate one mm-hmm. of those type of events that they put on to date.
Either of them, honestly. Like,
right.
Even like the Japan, I don't think any of the other ones you have to buy a ticket to. I think you still kind of like pre-register, like you sign up
mm-hmm.
ahead of time, but I don't think you're actually buying anything.
Yeah, the Japanese the registration for the Japanese went up just went up like I think today or yesterday because that's like the initial registration is like you're signing up for a lottery, like you're putting you're saying like, hey, I'd like to go, and then in like a week or two, they're just gonna draw randomly, presumably, and say like, hey, if you get picked, you can go to the event.
Weird.
Oh.
That's a very Japanese thing to do, though. They like sure. They like their lotteries.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, then they're very serious about the Japan region for that game too. in large part because Pokemon started there, but also because they're the number two revenue stream for the game. But they're like number one per capita by far.
Sure.
Because like U.S. is number one, but the average like spend per player in the U.S. is, I think, is like $5. And in Japan, it's like $28.
Jeez.
Ouch.
So.
I mean, there's a reason they keep pumping out all these gacha games and other mobile games designed to take Japanese people's money.
And they give it to them.
Right.
Yeah, right.
They're all on board for that.
Yeah, but it was very interesting. Mm-hmm. I had a really good time. I'm trying to think. There was one or two other things I was gonna mention about the event specifically itself. Torkoal was there. That was neat.
Yeah.
That's another, and that like there's a weird metagame to the game now in terms of if you want to like actually complete your Pokedex and like get all the guys you possibly can or whatever, because the way that they're dribbling a lot of these harder to get guys out, it seems like it's going to be at events like this, because with the launch of Gen 3 there are a lot more Pokemon that are like very tightly isolated to specific regions of the world. Like the one that I thought was funny was every like half the time you would hear somebody like pitching their like trade up at the, you know, at the microphone or whatever, where they would get called up by the MC or whatever. They'd be like, yeah, I want a Tropius and I'll trade whatever. And Tropius is currently exclusive to the African continent only. So there aren't a ton of them floating around.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought it was funny, like when people were doing that like clockwork, and I'm like,
but that guy's totally ready to give you his Pidgey for it.
Right, yeah, exactly. Like, come on, man, that's not.
Well, that and like Relicanth. It's only in like New Zealand.
Yeah,
those are I think that. The two rarest now. Torkoal would have been up there too because he's only exclusive to India normally.
Right.
Mm.
But now and there's like a ton of those floating around there.
Yeah.
So the economy is a little different on him specifically. And Tropius is also going to be like the Pokemon spawning in a place where it doesn't for the Japanese event. So once that event happens, there'll be a ton more of those kicking around than there used to be before. Because before they had trading, that wasn't even a thing.
Yeah.
It was like, if you showed up, you could get it.
This is something that Louise brought up to me the other day. We were talking about Corsola. Do you know what the trading is as far as, can you trade a Pokemon that was traded to you?
No.
You can never, that's part of the restrictions they put in to prevent abuse and basically like keep the Pokemon economy in that game to have some value, is that Pokemon can never be traded more than once. So once somebody
you can't trade a Pokemon that has been traded to you.
Once a Pokemon has been traded, once somebody trades a Pokemon to you, you can't transfer ownership of that Pokemon to a different player. You can either keep it in your inventory or just like transfer it like you can anything else for candy or whatever. And then
we're all Kazams from a champs up in here.
Right? I still wonder if they'll do that now that trading's in the game, if they'll put like trade evolutions in to either the existing guys or some of the guys going forward.
Maybe some of the guys going forward, because I could see them doing that with like Shelmet and Karrablast, because that's how you did it.
Mm-hmm.
You had to trade one of those for the others, and since they've got like,
they
haven't even released all the weird evolution guys for Gen 3 yet, so they're gonna have a fun time with 4 and 5 because shit just gets even weirder.
Mm-hmm. I know for, I guess they could keep them in raids, so that would keep them more accessible to people in general. But I know if they did that for meta relevant guys, like specifically for like Alakazam and Machamp. That like that would annoy the living shit out of certain people if you had to trade to evolve them. Because one of the other things about trading is that it rerolls their IVs completely. When you trade Pokemon, it's just a random like stat change. Again, just to try to prevent people from.
I've never seen it go up. I've only ever seen it go down.
That's just how the math works with the IV reroll. Because when you build up friendship with people, basically just as you add them to your friends list and do stuff with them in game. It increases a friendship rating from like a 1 to a 4. 4 being like the highest. It's like best friends, I think it's called, and that's like basically 90 single day interactions. and you can only do one interaction per day. Like, you can do more stuff with people, like trade multiple times
but
or raid with them multiple
friendship
times.
Friendship isn't going up.
But yeah, your friendship level only goes up one little pip every single day. And the IV reroll is determined, like, the range is determined by your friend level. So if you just did one thing with a person and you're at level one, the minimum is 1-1-1, like all ones. And if you're at the highest friend level, it's all fives, I think. So it's still a super wide range.
Mm-hmm.
And if you trade something good, statistically speaking, it will go down. Like,
yeah.
Like there's a much wider range of IV combinations lower than its current range than there are above it. So.
And I bet that's just their way of, again, keeping, like,
yeah, I think
people
it's
from gaming.
I think it's smart.
It's fine. Like,
I think if they didn't have a lot of that stuff in there, it would be even worse. Like, I think that people would be more annoyed by if it were just easy to pass around super powerful dudes mm-hmm. than it is the way it is. I think it's all fine.
Especially since we haven't had trading for, like, 2 years since then.
Yeah, I think it's honestly quite smart. The thing that surprises me the most about all those systems, honestly, is that the Pokemon company was willing to let them tweak that stuff as much as they did, because that's like night and day different from the way trading works in the regular games, and that could have been, like, in my mind, a thing that they could have put their foot down as, like, a licensor. It's like, hey, you can't do this because this is not how Pokemon works.
That's why I asked, because initially when I was talking to Louise, I was like, oh yeah, I was like, you just trade one to me? I was like, I'll trade to Lorraine, I'll trade to Dustin. And then she's like, no, I don't think you can do that. I'm like, really? I'm like,
yeah, you definitely
never
can't.
Been the case, so.
Uh-huh. And very, another very another element to that, which, again, I think I'm pretty much in favor of all of these, just because it keeps the game more interesting. And keeps you playing to try to get all that stuff, is you can only do one trade per day, period, regardless of, like, you know, if there would be with different people or whatever, that adds a new entry to your Pokedex. So if you're missing a guy, like, if you're missing four guys and you want to trade for all of them, you have to do all four of those trades on four different days. You can't do multiple in the same day, and that's with new Pokedex entries and legendaries, period, I think. You can only do one trade per day that is, like, a special trade. Which, again, that's just, like, they put layer upon layer of stuff on there to just try to discourage people from, like, grinding out accounts and selling them, or, you know, abusing the shit out of
or even just,
trading,
like,
good
selling
dudes. Or,
dudes,
yeah.
Because, like, well, and then aside from that, like, there is another, like, currency that goes into trades, which is dust.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and that's
which,
the same thing.
Like,
it costs, like, an enormous amount, like, basically an impossible amount in practice to trade really good guys before you've played with somebody a bunch, like, mm-hmm. before you've leveled up your, like, friendship rank or whatever.
The dust economy is tight, because you use that to power dudes up and make them better.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I still think that all works and fits with the spirit of the game of, like,
sure.
You know, people you trade with frequently, or, like, people you make high-level trades with are going to be people that you play with a significant amount of the time, either, like, close family or friends, or just, like, people in your, like, local community who play a bunch. And
that was even the funnier thing about
selling drugs to kids.
No. That was the funnier thing about those, like, Pokemon Go Fest trades, because, like, you've only just met these people today. Like, none of you are best friends. Like, the resources that you have to facilitate these trades are astronomical.
Mm-hmm. Like, although the regionals, if you're just doing, like, regionals for regionals, or, like, anything that's not shiny or not legendary, I think it's only, like, 20k, which is a lot.
It's a lot.
But it's not, like, an impossible
amount. But
that's also,
like you said, that's your one trade for the day. Like,
right, yeah.
You're
that
out
is, after
that.
Is a thing.
So you,
like,
have to decide what you want.
Uh-huh. And that's why everybody, I think, was pitching, like, oh, I want the rarest one possible. Mm-hmm. And obviously, either nobody has it,
or they're not
or is willing
to
get it right, is willing to give it up for your Pidgey or whatever.
Bidoof for a legendary.
That's right.
I mean, that's true Pokemon online trading fashion. Like,
the real wonder trades.
No, not even. Like, that's just
people offering up garbage just because they can.
Oh, yeah. I want a level one Palkia female for my Bidoof. I remember, like, way back, like, I think it might have been in Gen 4 when that stuff, when it was still so new.
Uh-huh.
If you nicknamed a Pokemon a different Pokemon, its picture would show up as what you nicknamed it.
Oh, that's...
It was shady.
Man,
it was
brutal.
So awful. Do you remember that, Kyle?
No, I don't.
I'm pretty sure that I'm... Because I remember seeing, like, I was looking for other things.
Because,
mm-hmm. like, if you searched, it would show up correctly. But like you're like I'm looking through like say I'm like looking through like Cyndaquils and all of a sudden there's just like a Dialga picture on the screen, but it's listed as a Cyndaquil. I'm like,
that's very what? Funny.
It was bad.
Mm-hmm.
Although that actually raises a good point, which is I would assume like probably 50-50 between intentional and like happy side effect. The IV rolling thing is kind of cool because you don't actually have to verify what the stats are. Like if someone was offering you a perfect Squirtle or whatever. You know, having re-rolling the IVs takes like verifying that like before you trade out of the picture in the first place, which is kind of neat.
Yeah, because then it's just like you're not even trading like necessarily for the Pokemon that you're like for that fight. It's mainly just like the either distance for that metal
and
it, or
then that's become its own
entry.
Yeah, that's become its own like fun little part of the metagame because now you can do just like strategic re-rolls with garbage guys. So you know if you both want a really good Bulbasaur or whatever.
Trade a bunch of garbage Bulbasaurs.
Two players can collect about 15 or 24 Bulbasaur each, and then just trade them back and forth each one time, hoping to re-roll into something better than the ones that there were before.
And you also get candy for what you give, so...
Yeah, and that's a cool element, too, is the distance thing I think is neat. You get candy for trading a Pokemon away, and you get more of it based on the distance between the two Pokemon where they were caught. So I think if they were caught 100 kilometers apart or further, you get the highest possible reward for trading two Pokemon, which is kind of cool. It's just a neat little random thing.
It is a very kind of random interest here, but...
Yeah, it's cool. Like I said, they've added... On top of just having figured their shit out, and especially on the back end, I think that, like...
Yeah, it's definitely a more stable game than it was before.
As a, a software developer, I bet that they put a lot on the roadmap in terms of, like, having accessible tools to turn up and down, like, various game functions available coming into this year. Like, I bet that's a giant thing they spent a lot of time on. I bet there's a ton of dude who spent a bunch of time on the server-side code to make sure that they could turn things on and off on the fly. Like, because last year they tried to do that, like... I'm assuming in a much less organized fashion.
Yeah.
Because I got like halfway through the day and you're like, all right, we turned off all the incense items because they're putting more load in the game. So, you know, somebody had to like by hand probably do something really arduous and shitty to make that happen.
Go with a scalpel.
Right. And this year, clearly, they had built out a lot of stuff on the back end to just like
push a
switch and do that stuff. Yeah. Like, because we didn't even notice it while we were playing in the park, but apparently they turned off all raids in the city of Chicago for about 2 or 3 hours. Mm. Presumably just as like a load balancing thing, but we were in the park.
There were no raids.
Where they didn't have raids
at
the event in the first place, also
we
presumably
also,
for load balancing.
We were also kind of far enough away from most gyms to begin with. There weren't any in like the immediate vicinity to like just see that popping up, so it didn't even like cross our minds because we were busy with doing other stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, a lot of that stuff, very smart. It was a pretty cool thing.
Yeah.
I would go to another one of those events if given the opportunity.
I bet you will.
We'll see. We'll see where they locate some of this stuff in the future, and obviously how impossible the tickets are to get.
Yeah. Because this gets better, it's probably just going to get harder.
Yeah, but all that stuff combined, the fact that they did a bunch of work on the back end, the fact that the game itself is so much more robust now, that they got trading into it before this, that they got the quest system into it before this, just everything about it was functionally and organizationally better than last year.
Yes.
Like, they did their homework, and they provided an experience that was way better than the disaster that it was
last time. Like you had mentioned, the one reoccurring complaint about the event as a whole that we also somewhat experienced, no merch on site.
Which
you couldn't buy anything.
Again, if that's a place you're going to fall through, I'm glad.
Yeah.
Because it's not on the top of the list of like most important shit.
They did have one last year. It wasn't, and it didn't blow my mind. Like, it was just a bunch of Pokemon stuff.
Yeah.
But the fact that there wasn't even that, it just seemed odd.
Uh-huh. Because I saw that complaint, like I said, multiple times from people on Reddit and stuff, specifically because they were like, because some of those contests were so hard to win.
Yeah.
Like they were giving out stuff. They were like, I would have just gone and bought that shirt. But they weren't selling any of that stuff anywhere, which was a little unfortunate. Because some of those contests, I thought was like both cool and kind of like a bummer, is they would just ask people, like Lorraine had said earlier, they would ask people certain things about the stats. Like, your player to date stats in the game. Like, how many Pokemon have you caught ever? And the person in the crowd who had caught the most would get a thing, which is cool because it, you know, it rewards the hardest of core people.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, you're not gonna get
848,000.
Right. Yeah. Like, cause I, like, I'm probably in like the top 5% or higher of like activity in this game, I would guess. And my Pokemon to date caught, we just looked at it today, is like 50 something thousand. And when when we walked past one of those things and they called that out, the first person who responded was like 117,000. And I was like, holy shit. All right. Enjoy your t-shirt.
Cuz I know one of the,
like, kind of like the people who casually play like would be excited to be a part of that, but like that's, I was like, I'm not even going to even attempt to look at what it is that they're asking. I know I don't have it.
The other things, because I don't know if you noticed that at each tent and each habitat had this wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I caught snippets of it one time. They were looking for Pokemon with that CP.
Oh yeah, that was cool.
And it was there was some other stipulation to like narrow it down after that. I don't remember exactly what it was, like worse stats or like
or even just like a specific Pokemon. Like, I think someone was like, does anyone have a Rattata with, you know, tick, 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 a CP of 138 or whatever.
They were strange numbers. Like, I don't even know how any of these numbers, like, it was like,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are much better, like, random drawing style.
As opposed to, like, the hardcore.
Which, again, I don't think it's necessarily bad to reward the people who have clearly played the shit out of the game.
Yeah.
But it's good to have a balance between, like, stuff that anyone can win and stuff that clearly only a handful of people
can
win.
Was just based on when we were by them. It seemed like they were doing more of the hardcore stuff, like, every single time we were within earshot of any of those tents. Which, I mean, whatever. Like, if they make it so not every, like, the same person isn't winning every single time.
Yeah.
Like,
it's still a cool idea, though.
Yeah.
Like, a cool thing to do, period. And then, again, I'm sure they'll workshop that stuff as they do other stuff in the future. But yeah, it was neat. I think the last thing, unless any of you guys have anything else to offer up about the event specifically, the last thing I want to do before we kind of close this out is make some pitches for like changes to either the way this event was run or like things to do in the future, because I've got a couple ideas that I think would be pretty amazing. But it involves like changing their attitude about these events a little bit.
Lay them on me.
Well, do you have anything else to add before we kind of move out of the event proper?
I think I'm tapped out on, like, thoughts/opinions on the day itself.
Jillian, anything else to throw in other than good times had by all?
Going along with the good times things, I actually did enjoy the amount of small children playing with their parents.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was granted, cute. We could even see the same thing because your mom was technically playing with you as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was nice that even there were, you know, parents. Strollers and small children, and they were playing, the kids were playing, and like everybody was like,
it was a family thing.
Yeah,
And so I like that it kind of bridges that, at least maybe, I mean, hopefully that was a portion of intention, but even if it wasn't, like that it's kind of come to that where, like, you know, the people who grew up with it can play, and then they can also get their kids interested in it, and then they can go to something like this and like all play together. Like, it warms my heart.
Yeah, I 110% agree. And actually, I think that's the thing that I was going to mention that kind of like slipped my mind. But I'm glad that you brought it up because it jogged it in my memory. Is that this event was also similar to how we've discussed before. It was a great example of how diverse the player base is for Pokemon Go specifically. Because we saw a lot of that. We saw a lot of like families, like parents and their kids and stuff.
Older people.
Yeah, we saw straight up like walked past a ton of just like clearly like grandparents or like retirees or near retirees, like people in the like their 60s or 70s probably, that were just kind of playing together.
I did remember something else. There was a couple and there was one other person. They had like Lotad hats, like the lily pad, and then because the girl had the lily pad on and was dressed in like teals, kind of like, I think maybe it was more of Lombre, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, like when I was really like looking at it, like she was wearing Lombre colors, and then the guy had a Ludicolo, like the pineapple part, not the whole wide brim, and was wearing like yellows and tans, and it was beautiful. And there was one other person who was just wearing the low-tad, like, mm-hmm. lily pad, and I'm like, that's great. That's something that's so easy. Like, it's a simple, like, prop to make, but it's also very recognizable and funny.
Right.
Yeah, it was very cool to see how many different kinds of people were playing.
I did see one team leader cosplay, which is a lot less than I saw last year. So there was a lot of people dressed up as those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the Team Mystic one.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, eh.
Mm-hmm.
Although that's
no
still...
Spark. Uh-huh. Spark is number one in my heart.
Yeah. I wonder if that was also a function of how active this event clearly was going to be even
probably.
From the jump. Because, like, if you're going to walk multiple miles in a day, how elaborate do you want your costume to be at that point? So I get that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're right. There were a
couple.
Even
if it is a lab coat.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But yeah, I do love that, like, that somehow this game has managed to acquire such a strange, like, unique combination of people mm-hmm. who play it. Because there were a lot of, like all that stuff. There were a lot of older people. There were a lot of families. People of all different, you know, races, genders, all that stuff. Still a lot more, a lot of the, like, it, like, a lot of the, I would call them, like, more traditional congoers too, like a handful of those people. But the cool thing about that was that it, like, you know, they were out there and they were doing it. And at some points I was even a little like, I hope you guys are taking this in moderation. Cause you know, I'm not exactly a poster boy for physical fitness, but I can walk around a lot. Like I do walk a decent amount at the very least.
Mm-hmm.
But some of these people, like, who were even, like, in the little, like, you know, walker chair thing or whatever, cause they couldn't get around that well. It was super awesome to see them out playing, but I was like, take your time.
Yeah.
It's hot out. Like,
it was,
know.
It was significant because, like, the sun was out on Sunday. Like, we got some nice burns.
Yeah.
But it was cool that this game gets more people, you know, up and out of the house and stuff.
Absolutely.
Like, that's an awesome thing. So, as long as nobody's getting hurt, as long as everybody's, you know, playing within their own safety zone of, like, physical effort or whatever.
And they had a lot of water stations, like, everywhere for refilling, like, water bottles. Which is good.
I mean, even just 5 years ago, just thinking on it, like, I don't think I ever would have imagined that if you would have told me, you know, in 2018, in the summertime, there would have been, you know, 20,000 people playing a Pokemon game in a park in Chicago.
Right. Yeah, it's really wild.
Walking around all day long, I would have never, ever believed it. So, kind of cool that's...
Yeah, it's neat. And the last thing I'll add specifically to your point about families and stuff is both, it's really cool to just, like, have things like that parents and kids can do together easily. Like, that's neat.
Mm-hmm.
But the other element I'll add to that is that it's good from a just functional standpoint for, like, communities, for fandoms in general.
Because
the thing about that stuff is if you, you know, I'm assuming, I don't have numbers on this, like... I'm
Give
sure Niantic
the
and the Pokemon Company does,
Give
but
me the numbers.
My assumption would be that the largest quantity, like the largest player base by age for Pokemon Go and Pokemon in general is people who are around our age that are like mid to late 20s to like, you know, early 30s. Because that's when, you know, those people are that age now who started playing Pokemon back in the day.
But also if you think about it, like have the greatest mobility, like freedom of mobility.
Sure.
Like
good combination of like money
can
and
drive.
Yeah.
Have, like, potentially, like, have a job and have free time occasionally.
Yeah, but,
and or jobs that have Pokestops.
Yeah.
Right.
Can play at work.
But the thing about that is if that doesn't stabilize at some point, like, which I think it probably either is or, like, in Pokemon there's a good chance that it will, like... If that keeps climbing older, you know, eventually the thing you like doesn't exist anymore. Because I know it's very easy for... people to get curmudgeonly about shit they like and letting other people into the shit that they
making
like and making it their own. Right.
Angry man yells at cloud.
Yeah, exactly. If you don't refresh that, like, you know, that population of people who are passionate about the things you're passionate about, eventually they just cease to be. Like, if new people aren't coming in.
That's kind of been Pokemon's MO since, like, its inception. Like, it's always been constantly refreshing its... base because it's been so popular, like kids are seeing their siblings
kids,
or parents play it or their friends.
It just won't
like,
die.
It won't die.
It's always good.
I remember when it came out in 1995, like, oh, this fad'll be over in a couple of months.
Pokemon
Not
Springs
quite.
Eternal.
Something like that. But yeah, it's very good from like that to have, you know, like I said, you know, younger kids and stuff playing and again, like the other positive elements about it are good too. Like the getting outside and getting fresh air and all that stuff. Like there's a lot of ancillary effects that are that are positive, that are kind of neat.
Yay.
It's just a cool thing. But yeah, very nice to see, like you said, folks out there with their kids and stuff. It was heartwarming. Very, very cool.
There was some guy, like, just, I think he had like a speaker backpack or something and was just blasting the To Be a Master soundtrack, and that was dope. We passed him maybe like two different times. Uh-huh. It was so good.
Yeah, he was really going for it. Yeah, and anyway, that's basically it for the event proper. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as far as the future, as far as other stuff, I think if they put on other events that were just like this one, and assuming that like the technological elements were basically the same, like it was like a near complete success from a functional standpoint, like I think they could do that for quite a bit and be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But for me personally, one of the things that I would like to see them do is do events like this in a specific like general physical area, but really lean into the fact that while it's a game that takes place in like real physical reality, it is ultimately a digital thing that they can, you know, they can manipulate game points on a whim.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially just to encourage different types or like more elaborate types of exploration. And like, that's a thing I'd like to see them lean into super hard. And I don't know if they ever will, because some of the, like, there was an interview before this event with John Hankey, the CEO of Niantic, who was like, he basically extolled like the benefits of doing it this way, where like, you know, if we get one physical spot that we understand intimately, you know, we can make a nice control experience where people can show up and they can take pictures in front of the standees, and you know, they can use our hashtags, and that'll all be great. And I get it. Like, I understand why a company would want to do that. Because it's like, it's the kind of publicity they want out of putting on an event like this. But the thing I'd like to see were like my elevator pitch for like a Pokemon Go Fest 2.0 would be like a 48 to 72 hour period where you pick a city. Let's pick New York for the sake of this argument. And that city has like a central hub where it is like the starting point of the event for the weekend, like similar to how we showed up with our you know, little scanners. Like, so you go to Central Park, and there are starting stops just like there were in this thing all over the place. You have to spin a thing and start the event going, and then you go do that, and then it basically sends you on either a completely, you know, a completely constructed, structured experience, or even a semi-random one that just has you doing different stuff in the general physical area you're at. Like, I want to spin a stop in Central Park and have it start a quest line for me, and then, like, one of the first things it says is, like, catch one Pokemon in each of the five boroughs of New York City, and then I want to go do that. Like, I want to see stuff that's like, you know, do at least two raids that are, you know, 10 kilometers apart. Like, I would love to see them graduate from, like, these very narrow things that are like, here's a specifically authored thing that you'll do exactly this way and nothing else, to just, like, something's a little wilder just because the game could technically support that. And I get all the crazy reasons why they wouldn't do it. And, you know, one of them would be the thing we already just discussed, honestly, that, like, asking parents and their kids to do something like that is much, like, a much heavier lift than, you know, asking them to come to a park and walk around for a weekend. But, yeah, we'll see. I doubt they'd ever get that elaborate with it. But the fact that they could is cool.
I think that if it wasn't such a high-value, heavily guarded, very quote-unquote sacred property to its IP holder, I bet it would be a different story. Like, they don't want, like, all those news stories around, like, when Pokemon Go started, like, people getting hurt and whatever, like, all the bad publicity from, like, last year's Go Fest and whatever, like, they, like, Nintendo doesn't want that on their brand. So Niantic is gonna, like, tiptoe around the eggshells to make it as, like, quote-unquote bland and safe as they can to keep that on the positive side of negative.
And they do benefit from, like I said, the stuff like the communities and stuff, or they're sort of like create your own events. So you can kind of do that stuff on your own with, like, you know, special benefits and special rewards just by the way they structure those kind of things. It's just an interesting idea, because, like, the thing that's special about this game, and, you know, Ingress, and I guess that Harry Potter thing that'll come out at some point, is the fact that, like, that it is a video game where the environments are Earth. Like, because it's just a map, right? Like, in the game, it's just, like, roads and walkways, But if you like, if you pull yourself out to the part where it is like an alternate reality thing, you know, the environment that I'm in now is downtown Chicago. Like the level that I am in now is, you know, the Renaissance Center in downtown Detroit. There could be a lot of room in like the game design space in a wider sense to do like some really, really crazy shit.
Yeah.
With the technology they've built. Which remains to be seen.
We haven't seen more clones of the Pokemon Go type game after it got so big and made a whole ton of money.
Sure. Yeah, I wonder if
just they don't have the infrastructure like Niantic already did to just kind of throw that together.
I wonder, because Niantic has opened up some of their like some of their stuff more generally also, but I think the biggest problem there is like you'd have to go so far to redesign the thing to make it basically like a single player experience if you were going to do that. Because, like, if you don't have a property, like, if you don't have a Pokemon, if you don't have a Harry Potter in your back pocket, if you don't have a thing that is going to, by default, pull in a shitload of people, like, then you just have a game where there's, like, 700 people playing, you know, in your 21 square mile area.
Pokemon Go was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, all right, well, nobody's interacted with this, you know, this church that's next to my house for the last 6 months, so that's kind of a bummer.
They kind of got lucky with Ingress because it was unique. It was different.
Yeah. People picked up Ingress for the same, like, for the reasons that I'm talking about now, just because it was a fascinating experiment.
Yeah. It was, I'm pretty sure it was the first of its kind, app-wise, at least. Like,
definitely.
Like, geocaching is definitely a thing.
Right,
and
but it's built
kind
right.
of, like, it's gamified that.
Yeah, in, like, real time.
Yeah.
Like, in a world space that, right, like, you can see the numbers change, like, up to the minute as you play it or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yes.
But, yeah, we'll see. But very cool. Like Lorraine said, I would highly recommend going to an event like that. I can't wait to see what they do in the future. Because at the very least, even if they don't like meet, like come up to my like pot high in the sky like ideals of what crazy events like that could be, I could definitely see them doing like something like this where it's a multi-day event where even just like the quest line is a little longer, and you could do that over multiple days instead of just like 1 8-hour period. Even that I think would be super cool, and that's a thing that I could absolutely see them maybe doing.
Because I think after GoFest last year, they started like. At like Comic-Con and other like the Pokemon TCG and video game championships, they started releasing specific, like mainly unknown, like that spelled out whatever the thing was or the city or whatever. They started doing more of that because that's what they did at GoFest. Like,
right.
They released a bunch of unknown that spelled out Chicago, and maybe now they'll do like a special quest line. Like maybe doesn't have to be Celebi or like a legendary, but it could just be like the, oh, hey, here's the like Comic-Con weekend or whatever, like here's a special thing and you get like a shiny whoever.
Something. Right.
Like,
doesn't really matter what. Just like here's an extra set of things to do and for doing them you get a thing. Yeah, I agree. I think that would be neat. It'd be cool.
I mean, they did it now. Maybe that'll give them a little more like
courage
to try something similar to that.
But the point is they built out all this infrastructure.
Yes.
Like, they've got all this stuff baked into like the game they've designed. So now the fun part comes with like, you know, they can push and pull it
whatever way they want.
Right. Based on all the technology that they've got under the hood and you know, keep experimenting, see what people like.
Beep beep.
But yeah, it was really cool. I would, and like Kyle said, assuming like the timing and the location line up, like I'll do another one of these. Like, if we can make it work, we shall see. But, yeah, I had a good time. And I bring it all the way back around. I liked being in Chicago again for a little bit. It wasn't, like, a super long trip, but it was, like, just enough to be not at home. Like, it was just enough to, like, really feel like we got out of town for a little bit.
It really did. Those were two super... Like, when we got home, I'm like, it didn't feel like we were gone for literally a night. Like, it felt like so much longer.
Yeah. It makes me want to try, like, some more, like, 48-hour, Just get out of town for, like, two whole days and just, like, do a thing. Because, like you said, it felt like it was dense. It felt like
so
a much...
dense.
It felt like a much longer trip than it was.
It was as dense as that pizza.
It was good pizza, though.
It was a good trip, and it was good pizza.
Right on.
Right on.
Dense. Dense black hole pizza.
Inside of a dying star dense. Like,
there you go.
You look inside of a Neutronian star, and there's just Chicago-style pizza.
That's right.
And this weekend.
If you put a New York style pizza into a black hole, then a Chicago style pizza is what emerges in some alternate universe somewhere.
Eventually it condenses.
Would you eat an entire deep dish pizza if it were condensed to the size of a gumball?
Just imagine how much that gumball would weigh.
Right, it weighs like 15 pounds. Right, you're falling, you're like, oh god.
Shut up. Put that thing, just yeet.
Never mind, sorry.
No, you're good.
We don't want to think about the answer to that.
Oh, that's perfect.
Just imagine that, like, because you could, if it was like, say it's like a small-ish gumball, you can kind of swallow those things whole. So you just have that, like, just 15-pound dense ball in your gut for like a week.
Awful.
If you need to make weight for like a wrestling match,
there you go. Yeah.
It's just basically like, oh god, what am I thinking of? Like,
there would be a great market there, actually.
Uh-huh.
Like Buckminster Fullers, like the little tiny little like balls.
Sure.
I'm
sure someone medically inclined would know. Like, 15 pounds of pressure inside your stomach might be enough to rupture it.
Like, coming out of your esophagus, just like.
I can't imagine that's good for you. But in any case,
for anyone really,
bite it in half and then you're fine.
Yeah.
Can you bite that in half?
Like, I don't think your stomach lining is meant to withstand 15 pounds of constant pressure at any given point.
Maybe if it wasn't dropped.
You just like laid back and like.
I mean,
try to imagine the logistics of it. Anyway,
sounds disturbing now.
I'm more inclined to believe that the act of it falling into your stomach is what would actually rupture it.
Lorraine, probably. The science, you need to get a PhD so you can figure out how to swallow 15 pounds of pizza in a single gulp.
In the size of a gumball, though. We need, like, dimensions.
That's right.
Otherwise, if we don't have the numbers, the math won't work.
You need to run out time at the Large Hadron Collider so we as a people
can condense
pizza into a singularity. That's right.
I want to live in the pizza singularity.
Anyway. Yeah, I think that's going to do it. On that lovely pizza-based note. Thank you, Lorraine, for hanging out.
That
sounds
toy.
Like a dog things. Just burp, the time to close up the show.
Dog's toy squeaking maniacally?
Yes. Okay, sure, it's fine. To make sure. Don't worry about it.
Yep, we're good.
Haru!
I had to use the dog yelling noise, the dog yelling button, many times already.
That's fine. This is the first time we've noticed, so it's actually worked flawlessly.
Perfect. I never would have guessed.
Because the cat went into the closet as I was putting clothes away, and then the dog tried to go after the cat. Dog can't really get in the closet. It was a whole thing. And then she keeps coming back over. I'm sitting over here with him, and
freaking
she's just
masochist.
All of a sudden I hear hissing. And I'm like, what?
Some days you just want to be mad. Like, I'm going to put myself in a very triggering situation just because I need to feel it.
Sure.
I want to be angry today.
The dog and just hiss at him.
Same. I do that to people.
And you hiss at people a lot?
Maybe.
Anyway. Thank you, Lorraine, for hanging out and hissing at people. Thank you, Kyle. Thank you, Jillian, for joining us and sharing your thoughts / listening to us ramble.
Yeah, more than happy to just shout things from the periphery while you guys talk about Pokemon Go.
The Kyle way.
But yeah. it was good. Yeah. Would do again.
Totes.
And thank you out there on the internet for...
Brought to you by viewers like you.
That's right. Listening
thank
to us
you.
Talk about random shit. So
garbage and trash.
Your musical guest. Haru.
Haru!
Yeah, I think that's going to do it. We may or may not... Oh, excuse me. I may or may not have another podcast next week. We will see. Because we're going to be real busy.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, this will be... If we don't... I mean, unless we want to do one... I mean, there's going to be nobody there to do one at Gen Con.
We'll see. We'll figure something out.
It's going to be rough.
Yeah.
You're...
Mm-hmm.
I'll say it now, next weekend, not this upcoming, the 28th and 29th, we are going to be at the Henry Ford Museum for Maker Faire showing off our video games. So if y'all want to come there Saturday, Sunday,
be around.
We'll have a booth inside the museum.
Doing stuff. And again, working towards that in the interim. So next couple days are going to be jam-packed with shit to do.
Shit.
But yeah, keep an eye on things. We'll have a new podcast within weeks. 1 to 3 weeks is my guarantee. We'll talk about stuff on the internet
again. At least one video game.
That's right. At least one video game.
Yep. We talked about one video game.
Accurate.
It's orbs.
So yeah, with all that in mind, thanks again for listening. We'll be back in the not too distant future. Woo-hoo. And we'll see you later, internet.
Bye.